Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we watched She's the Man, which is a movie from the early 2000s, and we also have a guest with us, Layla, to discuss this. So thank you for coming on, Layla.
Thank you. Does this make me a friend of the pod now that I've come on more than once?
I feel like it does officially.
Yay.
So She's the Man, I think Layla and I originally saw way back in the day. Elementary school? Early middle school?
We were trying to figure this out when we watched it of like, how did this movie come into our lives? And we could not really remember.
I think it would have been either late elementary or early middle school is my estimate. So we were quite young, I feel like, when we saw this. It is based on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, which I think is interesting. And the whole premise is Amanda Bynes plays Viola. And like in the original Shakespeare play, she pretends to be a man or a boy. And so she pretends to be her brother. She goes to this fancy prep school and to play soccer. And then she gets a crush on like the other hot soccer player dude, but he thinks she's a guy, and then a whole bunch of chaos.
Yep.
Oh, and Channing Tatum is in it, which is, I feel like, very important.
It's one of his like first movies, I think. I don't know if it was before Step Up or after Step Up, but it really like, yeah, he was very young in it.
Started with She's the Man and then was also in Magic Mike. It's quite a expansive, I don't know.
Repertoire.
Yeah. He looks like pretty different, I feel like, because he's still like kind of lanky.
Yeah. Also, the fact that you cast Channing Tatum, I feel like Layla and I have talked about this, is when we were like standing around in high school and you're like, why do none of the guys look like the guys in high school in the movies? It's because they're all like mid-20s being cast as high school students. And I remember you were saying how the Amanda Bynes character actually looks more like a high school boy than the boys they cast.
Exactly. When she's dressed up like Sebastian, she looks like an actual high school boy more than anyone else.
I feel like that's something they still do today, though, is they'll still cast people who are, like, in their 20s for high school roles, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense from, like, a business perspective, because, like, you'd want to hire people that, because, like, child labor laws, basically.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know, like, in Never Have I Ever, I think the main actress was, like, 18 when she started, and I feel like, you know, she looks pretty, she doesn't look 14, but she looks like she could be in high school.
I think the majority of that cast was relatively in the age range, except for
Paxton.
Which, no shade to the actor, but he was nowhere near the range of high school.
Yeah. It's also, I think, like, it's hard to get good kid actors. They are very few and far between, like, someone who can, like, really do it.
I feel like another thing with hiring kid actors, too, is, like, a lot of the times it's kind of a traumatic experience for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's also just fewer of them, I think, than adults, like, out there, too. So it's a smaller pool and, you know, harder to, like, manage, I think. So it makes sense, but, like, it's still.
It sets unrealistic expectations of what you think the boys in high school will look like.
It does.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite part of the movie?
I feel like everybody cites it when he sticks the tampons up his nose and pretends they're a method to stop a nosebleed. Like, no matter what, I will love that scene.
That's classic. I kind of love when they're like doing the role play, like she's trying to help him like learn how to talk to girls, and they talk about like, do you like cheese? Like, I feel like it's actually a very like sweet and earnest moment. Like, a lot of the humor in this is kind of like too much sometimes. Like, it's like very broad and like overdone, but like that's like a kind of very, pun intended, cheesy, but like in a good way moment. I feel like it's very like actually sweet, not just for laughs, kind of like it's a real bonding moment.
I also like how that one gets brought up later when they're on their double date. And they're like, so do you like cheese?
I fully appreciate the humor in that. But also, I got like so much secondhand embarrassment and like cringe factor from it. Like, I was like, I just can't handle this.
But that's also, like, I feel like that's, oddly enough, like, when you're in high school, you are that awkward, you know? It is that weird, like, to talk to people sometimes. And so, like, no one is, like, a smooth talker, like, super charming. Like, everyone is weird. Like, so it's kind of fun.
Aren't you glad we survived that stage?
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to think of my favorite part, but I don't think one immediately comes to mind. One that I did like, though, that I thought was kind of funny, was when she was messing with her wig and the principal walks by and he's like, male pattern baldness. And she's like, no.
The principal is, David Cross is pretty funny.
No, I was just saying, I feel like he's one of those guys that I've seen in various movies, but I have no idea who he actually is. So I'm very impressed that you know his name.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, he's really stuff. But one of my other favorite parts is, it's not like a scene, but just something about it generally, is I think the soundtrack is so good. If anything holds up, it's the soundtrack, like 10 out of 10. I remember like having some of those songs on like my iPod Nano because I like, I don't think I bought the whole soundtrack, but I think I like looked up the soundtrack and like had some of those songs on my old iPod. But I, yeah, love the soundtrack. Classic.
I feel like iPod Nano should help us date when we saw this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah, I got that in like 7th grade, so.
Oh, okay. So it must have been around 6th or 7th grade then.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know. I think I had a friend who showed it to me, and for some reason I was like, oh, you know who has to watch this? Layla. How did you find it, Kaylee? Do you remember?
So I think the first time I saw it was I was over at my friend Emma's house and she just had been passed over for an opportunity for singing and she was just like really sad. And so we just watched a movie together. So I want to say it was like maybe in high school, but to add a happy ending to this story, it's all good. She went on, she studied music, she got in this other fantastic opportunity. And so it was like one of those things where it's like everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad it worked out.
I also feel like it's like, for us, it's like very, it's also a very early 2000s thing to like, did you also have the DVD or did I only have the DVD? I don't remember. But anyway, it's like at a certain point, like in the pre-streaming era, like you just had a collection of DVDs. And so that's just, you just watch the same movie over and over again because you just watched the DVDs that you had unless you like went out and like got another, you know, like rented one or, you know, we had the like actual Netflix DVD service, but you'd only get like one every 2 weeks or something. So you just like, we watch these movies over and over again because that's just what, that's the only thing we had. We didn't have any other options. And we also couldn't even like really watch that many movies on that were just like on TV either because we didn't have cable. So
yeah,
it's just like, we just had like 5 movies that we watched, and that's why we watched She's the Man so much, because we had, that was one of the 5 movies we had.
That is true, because neither of us had cable, so it was limited to our collective collection. But side note about the Netflix thing, did you hear about, so they're ending the DVD thing, and how they're essentially, you could just buy DVDs from Netflix?
Yeah, they were saying if anyone has them, you can just keep them.
Yeah.
Like, don't, you don't have to send them back. That's kind of funny.
So it's the end of an era, because I feel like it was revolutionary when Netflix essentially destroyed Blockbuster with the mailing DVD things, and now they're not even mailing DVDs.
Yep. And then, like, I'll also, I don't know, like, I'll probably never get rid of this, you know? Because it's, like, it has sentimental value, too, now. Even though I could stream probably, like, a better quality version.
Yeah. That is one thing I noticed when we were watching it, is you could tell HD was not a thing back then.
Yeah. But it's just like, I'll always, like, you know, I can't get rid of this. Like, so many memories. Yeah.
So was there any part of the movie that was your least favorite?
So I feel like one thing that's interesting about this movie is that I hadn't seen it in a very long time. And I think it's interesting to watch it as an adult who's now older than all the characters versus like a preteen or a teen who was younger than all the characters. Because there are a lot of things in the movie where I'm like, oh my God, they're literally children doing all of this. Like when the brother pulls his pants down and when she takes her shirt off, like at the end of the at the big game, like that was supposed to be like a very funny moment, and I'm just like, oh my god, they're children. Like, stop it, like, no. So I feel like there are some things that I'm like, okay, they shouldn't, like, they're literally kids, they shouldn't be doing this, which sounds like, you know, kids these days, but I, like, they're like actual things that I'm like, oh, that's not maybe very okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Like, when those things happened in the movie, I was like, they're in high school.
Yeah.
This is not legal. I was like, no.
Yeah.
It might have been better if it was, I mean, I think either way it's not great, but like, at least if they were in college, they would be of legal age.
Honestly, I think it could have been set in college. Like, why not?
There's no need for it to be in high school. I think another moment that's less, has less criminal implications was when they, the whole like Eunice glow up thing, I feel like was the very stereotypical, like, yeah, she's a nerd, she has glasses, she has like the braces contraption, and then, oh, you get rid of all that and all of a sudden she's hot.
Also, like, they made that character kind of like creepy.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like. I don't like the like creepy nerd stereotype. That wasn't necessary. Like,
it also brought back how I felt having curly hair in the early 2000s, which, like, every single time someone was like a nerd or like looked a certain way that was not attractive in a movie, they would always have curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And I just was watching it and I was like, yep, this tracks. Anytime there's a glow up, anytime someone's the nerd, anytime someone's not like the main character, curly hair, always.
Yeah, that's so true.
Okay, side note on that is, I don't know if this was when we were still in high school or if it was like when we were in college, but it was around prom time and they're like, there's a whole meme basically saying like, isn't it funny how for all the fancy events, the girls with curly hair end up straightening it and then the girls with straight hair will curl their hair, and it's just like, they're just doing like a flip-flop.
That's so true. Yep. Yeah, now I feel like everyone does the wave.
I feel like also for least favorite parts of the movie, there were definitely some things that were like, I would say, kind of homophobic. For example, I mean, we talked about this before we started recording, like the whole when they were hugging because they were on the bed and there was like a spider on the ground, they were super scared. And then the guy was like, never do that again. I was like, well, that's not great. I think it's an aging thing for the movie because at the time people might have thought that was okay to put in there.
Yeah, no, there are definitely a couple of moments where you're like, no. And then, oh, I had another least favorite thing that I forgot what I was going to say.
It's not a least favorite thing, but when you mentioned that they were on the bed because of the spider thing, who let that kid keep a pet tarantula? Also, all the creepy posters in that kid's room, like, talk about Eunice being creepy, which she was, but that guy was also creepy because he had, like, stalker photos in his room.
That was scary.
Yeah. He had a whole pillow with Olivia's face on it. I don't know if you noticed, but I was like, what?
Yeah. No, that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know if I mean, I noticed it when we were watching it, but like, there's a lot more stalker vibes in this movie than I was expecting.
Yeah, the other thing about like, oh my god, they're children, is the kissing booth.
Right? And there's like the literal like grandpa in the line or something.
Oh my god, like, not okay.
I just remember one guy where, who was it? Was it Olivia who was in there first? Who was like, oh, that's like Mr. So-and-so and he like slobbers when he kisses.
Yeah, no. They're little children.
It is weird, I think, from a writer's perspective, like just writing that and like being like, yeah, yeah, no, these scenes are cool. They're fine.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of like those early 2000s movies, it's all about like, how can we get to the joke and not really, there's not really thought, as much thought put into like, how are the characters feeling in this moment? Like, that these are like supposed to be like real people. Because I think there are some parts where like, you have to have a suspension of disbelief for the whole movie because she looks nothing like the actor who plays the brother. And when he shows up at the end, everyone thinks it's him. And it's like, this is not the same person. So like, I think like, not everything has to be like super realistic because like, then there wouldn't be a movie. But like, I think there are sometimes where you have to like, put a little bit of thought into, like, who is watching this movie and what is the message that we're sending here? Even if it's, like, still, like, all about being a comedy and making people laugh. Like, you gotta, like, think about stuff sometimes.
I think also touching on the whole they didn't look alike, literally when they would come out, they were two different heights. I was like, it's not like a little difference. It was like a big difference.
Also, when they're like, oh, they both kids played the like, oh, I'm going to be at dad's house. And I guess maybe this is because they're in high school and the parents figure like maybe they could sort it out themselves. But like, as the mom, if the kids all of a sudden out of nowhere is like, I'm going to dad's, he said it was okay. Like, wouldn't you wonder a little bit if he actually said it was okay?
Yeah, like, at the end, they're like, can I get your number? And it's like, you don't have each other's phone numbers? Like, you're co-parenting? I mean, every situation is different, but it seemed like they should maybe, like, know what is going on if they're living at each other's houses. But it's also, like, they don't have Facebook and stuff, so they can't be, you know, the kids aren't, like, posting, like, hey, like, look where I am. So that maybe helped them, like, get away with it.
I think a lot of things were easier to get away with before technology and Facebook and all that. Also, he just straight up like went to England.
Yeah.
And seeing as he's in high school, he realistically is still a minor. And I don't know if it's because it's England and there's special rules, but like when I traveled alone internationally as a minor, I had a special letter from my mother authorizing it.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, even when you travel with your like parents when you're a minor, they still have like special things that you have to do. Like, I think you like they have to like see you face to face or something, like, you know, you can't like remotely check in and stuff like that. Like, there's no way.
Like, they're not just gonna let a minor board an international flight.
Oh, absolutely not.
That's so crazy that you guys thought about that, because that was just like totally right over my head. I was like, yeah, he just went to England for sure. But I guess, yeah, even with like the logistics of, you'd have to have like your passport, you'd have to have all these other things aligned to make it happen.
It's not the most, it doesn't hold up to, you know, too much like poking into.
There was also in the movie, there's this scene where they were in the gym, and at one point you see Olivia on the leg press, and then the next second it cuts and she's right across the room, and you're just like, wait a minute. It was very funny.
Yeah. I also feel like, I don't know, I was thinking about this earlier, like, I feel like it could have been an opportunity to, like, I don't know, like, maybe learn some lessons about, I don't know, how does it feel to, like, be somebody else, or, you know, how am I treated differently because I'm dressing up, like, you know, as my brother, how am I treated differently than me? But that's not really, like, touched on at all. I feel like the only time it gets close is when Channing Tatum is like kind of being vulnerable and is like, oh, like, it's nice to be able to like just talk to you, you know, like have a friend, and like you're like, oh, guys can be vulnerable too. Like, and that's kind of really the only moment of that. And every other time it's just like kind of played for laughs.
Yeah, I think this is definitely not a movie that's trying to make like a social commentary on the dynamics between men and women in society. Is just kind of more like, huh. Like, it's weird because I feel like the premise of like the way they made it, like what the funny part was, is like the whole like Viola is pretending to be a guy and then that freaks Duke out is a lot of where the jokes come from, is like the whole like being a guy and then acting a certain way with another guy and then it's like, oh, haha, that's funny.
Yeah, or, like, a lot of the jokes are also, like, the way she, like, talks as Sebastian. It's, like, she goes, like, so over the top sometimes. And at first, it's, like, the guy's kind of thing that's weird. But then he, there's that scene in the pizza parlor where he, like, brings his, her, well, she brings her friends out. And Sebastian is, like, flirting with them. And they're, like, so impressed by that. And, like, that's how Sebastian wins them over. Just by like being gross. And that's how Sebastian earns their respect. And it's like, oh, okay.
I feel like that whole scene was just kind of a hot mess. I feel like it was just really strange looking back, because it's like, you don't have to be the person who like gets all the girls to be really manly. And so I thought that it was like just kind of odd messaging.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that the other guys are like, oh, yeah, that's what we want to do. That's what we're supposed to do. But also, like, I feel like 99% of the people on the receiving end of that behavior would not enjoy that.
Exactly. Also, but another plot holes is when she's Monique shows up in the pizza parlor, and so Viola's trying to like hide her face, so because she's like, oh, Monique knows me, like she'll know that I'm not Sebastian. But then like everybody else in the school who has known Viola as Sebastian does not pick up on this at all when the real Sebastian shows up. Like, only Monique has this ability to tell them apart.
Wait, didn't Monique team up with, like, Creepy Tarantula Boy?
Yeah. Also, is Monique also in high school? I could not figure this out.
I think she's supposed to be.
She just appears.
Honestly, for some reason, I felt like she was just a little older. Like, I felt like she was someone who just, like, went away to college. I don't know why she gave me that vibe.
She is a debutante, though, which I guess implies she's in high school. But, like, how is she getting to the other school? If she's supposed to be in school, how is she just showing up to the other school?
I think this is, like, when you watch media and people have jobs, but they're, like, never at their jobs.
Yeah.
Like, they never need to be there, even though the rest of us have to be there for, like, 8 hours a day. They're just always off doing whatever.
Yeah. If we start talking about too much about plot holes, that'll be the whole thing.
I feel like upon rewatching this movie, though, like, pointing out the plot holes is what becomes fun about it. Because as we've mentioned, there are certain things where you're like, that is a little cringy. That should not really be in this.
Yeah.
But, like, pointing out plot holes in movies, I feel like, is just, like, good fun.
And I can't really remember, like, what I was thinking when I watched this movie as a teenager, you know? I was, like, trying to think, like, what was my thoughts about this movie back then? And I don't really know. Like, was I thinking, like, critically about it? Or was I just kind of, was it all kind of going over my head? I don't know.
Well, let's assume we did see it, say, like, 6th, 7th grade. You're what, like, 12-ish, give or take a year? I don't think any 12-year-old's really thinking critically about movies, especially, like, romantic comedies. I think I was probably had a child's brain and just thought, haha, this is funny. Oh, yay, they get together in the end.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the deepest I would have gone is, like, I don't know. Like, isn't it weird how she talks as Sebastian? Like, that might have been, like, the deepest, like, thought I had about it. It was like, oh, it's interesting that Viola is, like, putting on a performance, like, as Sebastian, and it's like, that's so weird that she's talking like that. But I might not have, like, gone any deeper.
I think when I was watching this for the first time, I think I wasn't paying as much attention to the movie. I was more concerned about my friend. I was like, are you good? So I don't even remember what my first thoughts were about the movie, to be honest with you.
I don't know if I thought this then, but I think a lot of my thoughts now is that there are multiple opportunities where an adult could figure this out. It's not that hard. Also, when they're at that fair, like, Viola's mother is there. And, like, how do you not notice your daughter just, like, running around? Like, she's trying to avoid you. Like, wouldn't you be like, hey, something's up?
Also, the fact that her mom doesn't recognize that she's not Sebastian, like, that's her own child?
Yeah.
Only Monique. That's it.
Yeah, she has the ability. So I feel like, I don't know, there are definitely some parts that hold up and, like, some parts that don't. I think there's definitely movies from that time period that don't hold up at all, and I feel like there are still some parts of it that hold up, but, like, there's definitely still some little bit of problematic stuff. There's, like, some, like, actually problematic stuff, and then there's some stuff that's just kind of, like, silly, and that's why it doesn't hold up, you know, or, like, it doesn't make sense, and that's why it doesn't hold up.
I feel like if they were to do a remake of this movie, they could make it a lot better. Now, I feel like there'd be a little bit more commentary on, like, hey, like, these are some of the challenges that you would face as someone who is a guy versus a girl. I think that they could do it a lot better if they tried to remake it now, just because I think that there could be a little bit more, they could be a little bit more cognizant of socially what goes on.
Yeah, like, how would this, like, really affect someone? And what would they, like, learn?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it could be a bit more reflective. I think the movie definitely gives us very strong 2000s vibes. And I think a lot of it was kind of like what Layla was saying earlier about just trying to get to the next joke. Like, I don't know how much character development really went into it.
Yeah. I think the actors all do the best that they can with what they have. Though, like, I think there was nobody like who I was like, they're doing a bad job acting. Like, I think, I don't know, Amanda Bynes, like, did, you know, she was like incredibly talented in that movie. I think Channing Tatum does a good job. Like, everyone like does such a good job like acting it.
I think also you guys are right, it definitely does read early 2000s. Do you remember that scene where she's like having this dream about the soccer game? I was like, oh, this feels so 2000s right now.
Talking about soccer, the soccer coach on Sebastian's team was a whole character. But to one of the things that's like kind of problematic was when he was doing tryouts or something, and he's like makes those comments as like, oh, you're doing it like a girl, or like, don't do it like a girl, or something like that. I'm just, those are one of those comments that I'm just like, when you redo it, you can just leave that part out.
Well, I feel like it could be there, but then you would have to have like a moment where it's like, oh, like, this is why she's doing this, is to like prove that she can. And then eventually, like, because the coach does at the end want her, accept her as Viola, as a player and the team. So like, there is like, that comes like way at the very end, but you'd want like that to be like part, because there is no like other commentary, it's like that's just kind of like thrown in there, but like as part of like a more, you know, if it's like more of like the focus of the movie of like, I can do this, then that maybe is like a counterpoint.
I feel like it's kind of, it's because it was never addressed other than the general overall premise of like, she's there to prove girls can do it, but she never actually confronts the coach about saying those things. It's just kind of at the end, he's all of a sudden like, okay, you can play.
And I think maybe like that should have been more of the focus too, is like, I am just as good. Whereas the focus really is like, I got with Channing Tatum at the end. Like, that's kind of like the main thing, ends up being more of a like big deal than the soccer accomplishment.
Or I feel like there are a lot of stereotypes throughout the movie, how like people talk about the opposite gender. Like, I feel like there's just a lot of stereotypes.
Yeah, but they're just kind of like thrown out there.
Not really addressed, just kind of like, just going to drop this in for the jokes.
Yeah, so I get, I don't know, back to like watching it when you're younger, like, I think I did like understand that there were like stereotypes, but I just don't think I like, that was like at the way bottom of like the priority list of thoughts about that movie. Like, I was like, not, that was not what I was like focused on at all. It's like, oh, you know, what are they saying that's like right or wrong? I was definitely more focused on like, you know, just the plot.
I think it was also kind of written or marketed more kind of like as a rom-com versus like you're saying about how it's focusing more on, does Viola get with Channing Tatum's character versus I feel like this kind of relates to our, Kaylee and I had an earlier Disney discussion about like, oh, like how in the newer ones, they're a lot more like the women are being active and like they're doing things on their own. It's not just like waiting in a castle for the prince to show up and save them. Like, it's not focusing on like her, like you're saying, like her soccer things. It's just kind of a rom-com. So I think as a younger viewer, I think the most obvious messaging is kind of what you focus on and what hits you before you develop the other critical thinking skills. Also, you're not really, especially if you're like watching it with a friend, you're not really watching it to be like critical thinking about a comedy.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm not saying like every movie has to be like, you know, have like a message about like social commentary, but it's like when there's like these like little underlying things and you're watching it when you're 11, like it does have like an impact on you versus, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of like a more contemporary movie that's like maybe a little more empowering, but like you can still have a fun movie or like a, you know, a goofy like movie that doesn't have these sort of like underlying like things.
To wrap it up, we can kind of give our thoughts on like the influence of nostalgia on it, and like, would we recommend this movie to somebody? Because like, I feel like I thoroughly enjoyed rewatching it.
Yeah.
But I feel like at the same time, it's also a movie that would be kind of odd to recommend to somebody who has never seen it before.
Yeah. I think it's like, would I recommend this to like an adult friend who had never seen this? And also like, at what point would I let like my kid watch this is like also an interesting question that I don't really know the answer to right now. But I think just like an adult like who just had never seen it watching it might not like, I don't know, they might not think it was like the best.
I think that's because there are a ton of plot holes, which are just comical. But then also there are the issues that are problematic or slightly problematic. So I think seeing it for the first time as an adult, those issues may be more of a barrier.
Yeah, but it's also like, I don't know, there are certain things like I feel like it's worth watching it for, which is like, it's like an interesting to like watch like young Channing Tatum and like then see what he like becomes, and to like be like, wow, like look how talented Amanda Bynes is in this movie, because I think it is like a really good example of how of her talent. Like, she's, like, an excellent physical comedian. Like, she's just, like, with it the whole time, no matter what the writing, how weird the writing is. She's just very talented in it. I feel like it's almost worth watching just for that, as, like, a sort of time capsule of that. It's also worth downloading the soundtrack, even if you never see the movie. But in terms of, like, kids watching this today, I feel like I might be a little bit more like, maybe there's some, like, things we should talk about before we watch this movie.
I think I agree with your take on it. I think I would recommend it to someone who is curious to know what the 2000s were like, because I feel like it very much reads like a movie from the 2000s for an audience in the 2000s. So I think as a point in time, I think it's a good thing to recommend. But I think, like you said, there are definitely some moments where it's like, you'd for sure need to talk about it. I don't know that I would recommend it to people who are super young, just because I think that a lot of people are still like figuring out who they are at that point in time. And I think that it could be a little damaging if you don't have conversations around that first.
I think it's smart to kind of separate it between like, say, recommending someone our age versus a child. Layla, you remember media literacy?
Mm-hmm.
It could be put in media literacy.
For sure, yeah.
Thank you for joining us for this rewatch of She's the Man. And thank you, Layla, again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Our next book club is going to be The Christmas Murder Game by Alexandra Benedict, and that will be dropping on December 4th.
We hope you enjoyed our discussion on She's the Man. We'd love to hear your thoughts if you've seen this movie, so you can send us an email to zillanielspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillanielspodcast, and don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you are listening.